This morning's scripture reading comes from the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. Hear these ancient and familiar words. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all manner of evil things against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who came before you." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. In Christian theology, there is a doctrine called the perseverance of the saints, which asserts that once a person is truly born of God, nothing in heaven or earth shall be able to separate them from the love of God. The doctrine is a little overly Calvinistic in its common usage, but it's got a good name. The perseverance of the saints has a nice ring to it. And when it comes right down to it, is there anything else to better say to the saints in a year like this and on a weekend like this than to tell you that you are loved by God and that there is nothing in all of the earth, nor heaven above, nor hell below, that can separate you from that love and eternal care? So what the scriptures say about the saints now departed will one day also be said of us. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And as the old part-time preacher and full-time shoeshine man at the Cast Iron Grill in Lubbock, Texas, used to say, "God's got a mighty big handkerchief to sop up all those tears." Yours and mine. And blessed are those who mourn, for you shall be comforted. All Saints is the day we commemorate all the saints, known and unknown. And as I was telling our staff earlier this week, I'm glad the day is followed by All Souls because, well, they weren't all saints. Some were sweet, some were sassy, some were more foolish than courageous, some were consumed by demons we will never understand. Yet that too is a part of what the text means when it says they came through the ordeal. For without those ordeals, they wouldn't have been who they were. And without who it was that they were, we would not be who it is that we are. And so we can give thanks that that so-called roll call of faith, the great cloud of witnesses named in the book of Hebrews, includes not only Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, people whom we put upon a pedestal, but also those of more dubious distinction, people like Rahab the prostitute, and Samson, the love-struck hero. David, who in fighting the beast became a beast. And Samuel, who was a faithful priest in the house of the Lord, but failed miserably as a father in his own home. None of these was flawless. They were all human, ordinary earthen vessels called upon to carry an extraordinary heavenly treasure. They came through their own ordeals, and having wrestled with God and with angels and with men, they lost over and over again, but in the end, won their salvation and the salvation of others through faith and perseverance. So, what would this great cloud of witnesses, all these saints and souls whom we remember today, say unto us at this particular moment of our own mortal lives? I think this is what they would say to us. Keep the faith. Persevere on. Do not lose heart. Do not let your hearts turn cold. Do not be overcome by evil, but seek to keep overcoming evil with good. The lessons for all saints are the same every year. The Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness and justice, and blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of all these things." These were spoken to a people at a time when Tiberius was emperor of Rome and Herod Tetrarch was king of Galilee and Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. And when this morning's words from Revelation were written, "He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes," its recipients had just seen four emperors rule Rome in 1 year, followed by Vespasian, who sacked Jerusalem, and then Titus, who threw the Christians to the lions. They were going through their own ordeals. So St. John's revelation reminded them at the end of the days, it would not be the lions, but the Lamb who would sit upon the throne. Let us remember that, brothers and sisters and kindred. On Tuesday night or Wednesday morning or whenever it is that we will finally find out the results of this upcoming election, in the end, it will not be the lion or the donkey or the elephant, but the Lamb who will sit upon the throne. And to God and to the Lamb I will sing. I will sing to God and to the Lamb who is the great I Am. While millions join the theme, we will sing. We will sing. Fear not, friends, for truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch o'er his own. God keeps watch, and so too do these saints. And that is of immense comfort and peace, especially in this great year of our loss, 2020. We have lost now 225,000 souls to COVID-19 this year. And I am especially remembering one, a beloved pastor, mentor, and friend on this All Saints Sunday. As I said last week, Hardy Clemons was ordained here at Broadway and pastored my home church, Second B in Lubbock, for 20 some odd years. For three of those years, he co-pastored the church with John Claypool, a former and much beloved Broadway pastor who had worked with Dr. King in the 1960s and was probably the most well-known white Baptist clergyman of his era. Together, Hardy and John made a dynamic duo, and they did a lot of good for the church and for the city. In 1984, Lubbock had 200,000 people, a lot of them black and brown. Yet its city council was still all white. So John and Hardy joined together in a cause calling for voting district reform. And there is a picture etched in the contours of my mind from the pages of the Lubbock Avalanche Journal of the two of them and several other black and brown ministers holding hands as they marched from the Civic Center to City Hall singing, "We Shall Overcome," as they went. And they did. Together, the clergy and their churches and other community leaders worked to dismantle and overcome the system which had been put in place to keep minorities from having their voice heard downtown. That is a part of the reason why Hardy and John are saints and heroes to me. Towards the end of the march to City Hall, one of those other ministers who was walking arm in arm with Hardy turned to him and thanked him for being there. Hardy nodded and said in his dry West Texas accent, "Of course. And next time I think we ought to let the female clergy lead the procession." As Hardy told it, with that, the other minister then let go of his hand and refused to speak to him the rest of the day. And so it is that so often those who have finally made it into the house themselves turn around and try to lock others out. But history processes on, and the saints march on, and the faithful persevere on. But at some point, every saint finishes his or her course. And today we remember that. Today the saints help us remember that. In my files, I have an essay Hardy once wrote about facing death, in which he used his own father's death as an example. At age 94, his dad began to suffer from an acute swallowing problem, and the doctor told Hardy he was going to have to put a peg in his dad's stomach to keep him nourished. "I don't think he wants that," Hardy said. "He doesn't have any choice," the doctor said. "Sir," Hardy said, "you seem to be assuming I'm the decision maker here, which is not the case. Let's go in and talk with Dad. He's very clear about these things." They went in, and the doctor explained carefully what the situation was and ended by saying, "Mr. Clemens, we've got to install a peg this afternoon in your stomach." "And how will that help me?" Hardy's dad asked. "It will keep you alive," the doctor said, sort of defensively. "Will it keep me alive?" Hardy's dad asked. "Or will it just keep me here?" Hardy spoke of that many, many times over the years. And it gives me peace that he did, because I know Hardy believed the same thing about life and death that his father did. He too was very clear. And so, as much as I and so many others miss him, we know that he wouldn't want to just be here if he couldn't also be alive and truly living. Hardy fought the good fight. He finished his course. He kept his faith. Henceforth, from now on, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for him and for all of these other saints and souls whom we have lost in this past year. We love them. We miss them. We grieve them. And we know it's our turn now to pick up their mantles, to take their batons, to put our hands to their gospel plows and press on. It's our turn now to persevere, and we must persevere. We must overcome, and we shall overcome. Listen. These are challenging times, I know. We are going through our own ordeals as a nation, but we aren't going through them alone. The saints are with us, and so too is God. And because God is with us, we hold fast to the words of St. Paul, who, writing to another church at another anxious and challenging time, when nobody knew what was to come tomorrow or the day following, said, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Or, as the old hymn has it, "This is our Father's world. Oh, let us not forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet." God is the ruler of this world and the next, of life and death and life again. And there is nothing that can separate us from the Lord of all of life. And one of these days, she shall take that great big handkerchief and wipe our eyes like a loving mother, and we shall know, every one of us shall finally know the full meaning of the words spoken on the mountain. "And blessed are you who mourn now, for you shall be comforted." In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.